Okay, today's daf is Kaf Chet. We're going to start at the bottom of Kaf Zayin Amud Bet, about 6 lines from the bottom. Amar Rava. Nishba al kikar v'achla, im shiyar mimena kezai nish'al aleha. Now we're talking about, we mentioned yesterday about she'elat chacham, that you can go to a chacham. This is a little different than a neder. Haparat neder, you can do in front of a beitin. She'elat chacham, you have to ask. If you want to be shoel on a shvua, one of the differences is you have to ask a chacham. So let's say you go to a chacham. After... okay, you swear I won't eat this kikar, and then you ate it. As long as there's a kezayit left of the kikar, you're allowed to be shoel aleha. But achla kula, ein nishal aleha. But if you eat the entire thing, then you can't, after you finish the iser, you've eaten the entire kikar, you can't do sheila. So amale ravacha beredu rava leravashi. So now we have a question about this. Hechidami. Ida amar shelo ochal. I don't understand how you can even do this if you leave over kezayit. If you say, I swear I won't eat. Remember, what did we say? When are you over on the iser? As soon as you eat a kezayit. So if you say, I swear I won't eat this kikar, and you eat a kezayit already, mi kezayit kama, from the first kezayit already, avdeli surah. You've already done the iser. So how can you undo the isur that you've already done, right? You assume that we can be shoel and a shvua as long as we haven't yet done anything wrong. Ida amar shelo ochlena, if you say shvua that I won't eat it, which we said means I won't eat the entire kikar. So he's not going to be chayav until he eats the entire thing. So my iriya kezayit, afilu kol shunami. What's the difference whether you leave over kezayit or you leave over a teeny bit? As long as you haven't eaten the entire kikar, you haven't been over on your shvua, and obviously you can. So there's no chidush to say this. So now they're going to say no. Ibai deima shalochal, ibai deima shalochlena. We can understand it according to both options. Whether he said, I swear I won't eat it, which means kezayit aser, or I swear I won't eat the whole thing, which means even if he leaves over a little morsel, it should be. Ibai deima shalochal, if you want to say shalochal, migo de mahanyale she'ela kezayit batra, mahanyale she'ela namia kezayit kama. Since he hasn't actually eaten the entire kikar, even though he's already forbidden from the moment he eats a kezayit. But let's say he keeps eating, and there's a little bit left. That means there's something left to be shoel aleha. Let's say he really wants to eat that last piece. So, and at this point, he feels bad that he made a shvua. He was over on a shvua. So what does he do? He says, I want to be shoel on that last piece. But since he can already be shoel on that last piece, that allows him to be shoel on the entire shvua. And then retroactively, it will become that he never actually did any sore. Okay?
If he's released from the shvua.
If, right. Well, obviously, if the chacham agrees to release the shvua, okay, they would have to have a good reason for doing it. But let's say he had a good reason. So then he'd be allowed to do that. So how do you explain shalochlena? Ish shiyer kezayit chashiv li'ishtulei aleha. If he leaves over, we said, let's say you say, I swear I won't eat this entire kikar. And then he leaves over a teeny morsel. So they say, you can't do she'ela on a teeny morsel. You can only do she'ela, and it's true you haven't eaten the entire thing. But there's not enough of it left to have chashivut. We've seen this term chashivut many times. So now we're going to say, if he leaves over a kezayit, that's chashiv, that's enough. Li'itshule aleha, that you can now say to the chacham, listen, I almost ate the entire thing, but I didn't yet, and I want to be shoel on my shvua, right? He hasn't been over on any iser yet because he hasn't eaten the entire thing. But while it's true he hasn't done an isur yet, let's say he leaves over just a drop. If he leaves over just a drop, well, it's true he hasn't done anything wrong yet, but there's not enough left for him to be enough to be shoel aleha. V'ilo lo chashiv li'itshule aleha, right? But if there's not even a kezayit left, that's not chashiv enough to ask she'elan. Okay, meitive. Now we have a question. Mishna dar shtei nizirot. If you count two nizirot, we had this yesterday. You say, I'm going to be a nazir. So now you have to do two sections of 30 days. Umanari shona, and you counted the first. V'ifrish alea korban, and you separate a korban already. V'charkach nish'al ala rishona, al talo shniya barishona. You can basically, according to this, what did we say? We said a minute ago that if you say shvua shelo ochal, I won't eat, and you already were over on your iser, right? Then, once you, right, the point is that if you've already, right, this is, let's take the shvua shelo ochlena. There, what did we say? You have to have not eaten the entire kikar in order to do she'ela. Right? You have to leave over a kazayin. But now, with the nizirut, you can finish your nizirut, separate your korban already, and then, after it's all done, you can basically do she'ela in the nizirut. That's what we're saying here. You can cancel your nizirut.
The first one?
Yeah. That's what it said here. You take two nizirut, right? You say, hareni nazir, hareni nazir. You now have to do two batches of 30 days, right? So you have one to 30 here, and then you have another to 60. Now, he's at the middle point. He finished all his days. He separates the korban. Okay, well, we'll talk about this in a minute. But right now, we're going to assume he's basically done with his nizirut.
That's like eating the last kazayit of the kikar lechem.
But it's finished. If you ate the entire kikar, according to what we said, you wouldn't be allowed to be shoal. Right. You'd have to leave over kazayit. So here he basically, right now we're going to assume, he's basically entirely finished his nizirut because he even separated the korban already. And yet, what does it say? You can be nishala l'rishona, and then this second section fills in those days that you canceled your, and you're basically done. You just have to finish up the korbanot. So, what do they answer? Hacha b'mayas kinam b'shalo kiper. Ah, right. Exactly, I think what you were trying to say, Naomi, which I cut you off because I didn't want you to say it yet, that you didn't actually do the korban. You hefrish the korban, you separated it, but you didn't get kapara yet. You didn't do the whole process. So because you didn't finish the process of the korbanot, of bringing them, therefore, it's not considered that it's finished. It's like leaving over the kazayin.
Why is it relevant that there's a second stage that is relevant to our question?
Oh, it's, no.
A second nizirut.
So what? The question still stands.
But maybe there's no source about that. So they're bringing in the source that proves that the fact that the second one can go into the first one means that the first one is entirely canceled. Right. You're right. It could be in theory.
If he were doing the Shelat Chacham after it was mefresh, but before he brought the Korban, it could still entirely cancel it without the second part.
Exactly.
Being
exactly.
Present.
I imagine that's the case. I don't see why not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Vahatanya, but wait, there's a version of this Braita that says Kiper. It says not that he was Mafrish Korban, but that he in fact was Kiper. We're going to find that there were lots of Nuschaot of this text, okay? This Braita actually says, Kiper, you actually got Kapara already. So then, you're really finished. So what do they answer? B'shalo Gileach. Because also you have to do Giluach when you're a Nazir, if you remember, we got to all that. So you also have to shave. So if you have to shave your hair, then what do we learn? That, you know, you obviously didn't do that stage. But this is only according to Rabbi Eliezer, he damar tiglacha me'akva. Okay, and you would have to hold like Rabbi Eliezer, you would have to say this bright holds like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the shaving is me'akev, the finishing of the nizirut, which not everybody agrees with. And as you can, in theory, finish all the korbanot. And if you don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer, you'd say, even if you didn't shave, you're still done with your nizirut. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, it prevents you from finishing your nizirut, in which case it would match up here, would answer our question, because you might have done the kapara of the korbanot, but you didn't do the giluach, and that's an integral part. The hatanya, but isn't there a version of this price that says gileach? Okay, not only did he do the korbanot, was he bafrisha korban, he also did the korban, and he also shaved. So, Amarav Ashi, what's Rav Ashi's answer? Nizirut karamit? You're asking a question from nizirut? Me, it's not comparable. Me garam l'shnia shelo tachul rishona ve'ena. Okay, so now what are they saying? What's causing, in other words, what's the issue here? When it comes to nizirut, what happens? Well, it's true that this nizirut is finished. You counted the 30 days. You separated your korban. You brought your korban. You shaved. You've done everything. But it's not like it's totally finished. Why not? Because in this case, you took two nizirot. Now it's relevant that you took two. Because you took two, the first one is preventing the second one from filling up those first 30 days. So there's still relevance to this nizirut. Because if you were to get she'ela chacham on that nizirut that you would totally, entirely finish, and you would say it's like the kikar that's done and eaten and you can't do anything about it, once you eat the whole kikar, you can't go to the chacham and say, listen, I did something wrong, please undo it. In this case, since your second 30 days, if you really do She'elah Chacham after you're finished with the entire process of the first, what will happen? If you do She'elah Chacham and we allow it, those second group of 30 days will fill in on the first 30 days and you won't have to do Nezirut anymore. So they're still existing, those first 30 days. In other words, it's not like the Kikar that's totally gone. But those 30 days still have relevance. That would be the term I would use. They're relevant because they're preventing the second 30 days from filling in those spots. So if I basically go after the first 30 days, I finish my entire Nezirut and I say, listen, I really want to cancel that, I can because there's relevance, because once I cancel it, then it turns out that the 30 days I kept of Nezirut apply to my second statement, Hareini Nazir, and I'm basically finished with my process now of the second Nezirut. So therefore, since it's still relevant, I can do She'elah Chacham, whereas I can't do it for the Kikar, because the Kikar is already totally eaten and there's no relevance to it at this point.
So the comparable would be if he hadn't sworn a second Nezirut, then he probably couldn't.
If he hadn't sworn a second Nezirut, then he definitely couldn't at the later stage, once he's totally finished. Exactly.
Or had he asked, like on the 20, right before he finished the Nezirut, before the Hifrish Korban?
Then everyone agrees. And then there's no question.
Right.
Okay? But then it's also not like our case. Because our case, and as we were trying to say, that if you say Shaloch Lena and you eat the entire thing, you can't be Shoel. So then that wouldn't even be comparable to us. Okay. Amemar Amar. Afilo Achla, he disagrees, by the way, with this whole halacha that we saw. And he says, Afilo Achla Kula Nish Alaleha. He says that if you ate the entire thing, you say Shfu Shaloch Lena, I swear I'm not going to eat this kikar. So the first opinion we brought was Rava, and Rava said, only if you leave over kezayit can you do she'elah on that. But if you ate the entire thing, you can't be shoel. Comes a memory, and he says, in fact, you could be shoel. You could have basically done the isur, eaten it. I swear I won't eat this. You eat the entire thing, and then you're shoel. So the Gemara is going to say now, ibis shogeg mechusar korban, ibis mezid mechusar malko. Why is this? Or maybe the Zamem are still talking. He says, if you do this b'shogeg, you're still in the process. Why? Because you haven't brought the korban yet. Remember, if you say, I swear I won't eat the whole thing, you eat the whole thing and you're shogeg, then you have to bring korban olevi oreid. In this case, he swore he won't eat the whole kikar. He ate the whole kikar, but he hasn't yet brought his korban. That still leaves room, just like we said with the nazir, but he hadn't brought his korban yet. That leaves room still for, it's a little different than nazirut though, because nazirut, there's a process of Nezirut, which includes bringing a korban. This, you finish the process of Shfu, and now you just have the punishment left. But what we're going to say is that the punishment is a part of it, according to Amemar. And since you haven't gotten the punishment, whether it's Shogeg and you haven't brought your korban, or it's Mezid and you haven't gotten Malkot, then basically that still leaves room for you to be Shoel Aleha. It's interesting. It's kind of like saying, you know, we want to punish you for something, right? You did something wrong, but what you want to claim is, well, I want to be Shoel. What does it mean to be Shoel? You give some sort of reason why you never would have made the Shvua had you known blah, blah, blah. So since you haven't yet gotten the punishment, there's still room for you to kind of say, well, I didn't really mean what I said, and I was under a mistaken impression, whatever it might be. So therefore, we still allow. Once you get punished, there's nothing to do about it. You've gotten punished, it's finished. But until you've gotten punished, you can still do it. Again, that's a meimar. Rava doesn't think that's the case. Rava thinks once it's eaten, you've done your avera, emalasot. But now, if we're going to say, once you're punished, then the question is, at what point are you punished? And this goes back to something we learned in Masechet Makot, which is, ava kaftu al ha'amud lo. Once you put him on the amud, remember the way they got Malkot, you would put him on the stand and, you know, he would like bow down. There was this whole position he would be in. So you kind of tied him to the Amud, right? So once you do that, it's as if he's received the Malkot. Do you remember this? Kiddush Shmuel, like Shmuel said. Damar Shmuel, kaftu al Amud v'ratz mi beitim patur. If you remember, if they assess that someone's supposed to get Malkot, and then they put him on the Amud, and then he runs away, since they had already put him on the Amud, and he runs away, it's as if he got the Malkot. Now, So right now, okay, I don't know if you remember all the details, but we're going to see in a minute that the reason there isn't applicable here, and therefore it's not relevant. But right now we're going to assume that since Kaftu al Amud, according to Shmuel, means it's as if you got in the Malkot, meaning that once you do that stage and the guy runs away, he no longer gets Malkot. If you catch him later, you don't have to give him the Malkot. It's as if he received his punishment. Therefore, in this case, once Kaftu al Amud, it's as if he received his punishment, he can't then say, oh, wait a minute, I want to go ask a Sheila Chacham, because it's as if he received his Malkut. But then the Gemara says, Velohi, Amemar, you're wrong. Why? Hatam Ratz, Hacha Lo Ratz. The reason there that we gave why he's already exempt from Malkut is the point, exactly, the point of the Malkut is to embarrass him. Now, once he's up there on the Amud and then he runs away, his running away is a huge humiliation for him. Because everybody sees him running away or whoever's around. But there's some sort of embarrassment and humiliation about somebody running away, right? Imagine somebody running the scene of a crime. It's embarrassing. Everybody sees him running. Everybody knows he did a crime. That's an embarrassment. So therefore, that's why he's patur from Malkot if you catch him later, because he's already suffered his embarrassment and humiliation. In this case, just putting him on the Amud, it's not the Amud itself that does it. It's the running away that caused his embarrassment that's going to be as if he received it. And therefore, it wouldn't be relevant to this case, and therefore we'd say, Kaftu al Amud against Amemar, it's not as if you've received the Malkot. You could still at that point say, wait a minute, I want a Chacham, I want to try to be Shoel al Mashvur. Okay? So basically, just to summarize what we did so far today, we had Rabba, who says that if you didn't eat the entire thing, you could be Shoel, right? And if, in the case of, and if you said Shelo Ochal, then also you could be Shoel. We explained that because even if you still ate a kazayit already, but since you haven't eaten the whole thing and there's room to ask a Sheila Chacham on whatever's left of that kikar, therefore you can even retroactively undo the entire shvua. And which shows, though, again, both those things show that only if there's a kazayit left, but once you finish it, you can't. And then Amemar said, no, even if there's nothing left, as long as you haven't received your punishment, and even if you're kaftu al amud but not received the malka, right, if you haven't received your punishment yet, you could still be shoel. Okay, that ends that section. Rabba now is going to say something else, and now the Gemara gets somewhat complicated. Amar Rabba, Shvua shelo ochal kikar zo, im ochal zo. Okay, this first case is not as complicated as the later cases, but we'll start with this one. Four lines from the bottom. If you swear you won't eat this kikar, if I eat that kikar. Okay, so you depend one on the other. One is the tnai, for a condition for the shvua to work, and one is what's forbidden itself. Okay, so one is not forbidden, it's just if you do it, the other one will be forbidden to you. Okay? So, shvua shelo ochal kikar zo, im ochal zo, v'achal et harishona b'shogeg. Now, you eat the first one. There's a big debate about what this is. We're going to go with Rashi. Rashi says the first one is, even though the first one, according to this, is the one you swore not to eat, not the one that fulfilled the condition, but the assumption is that generally when you make a condition, it means the first part, which is the condition. So if we're going to now have all the permutations of what it could be. So now the first one is, achalat harishona b'shogeg. So when you fulfilled the condition, you did it b'shogeg, meaning, okay, let's just say, I swear I won't eat apple pie if I eat chocolate cake. So now when you eat the chocolate cake, okay, right, what are you trying to do? Let's put it in the diet framework, right? You don't want to eat too much. So you say, if I eat the chocolate cake, then the apple pie will be forbidden to me. So now you eat the chocolate cake, but you didn't remember that you made a condition that if I eat chocolate cake, apple pie will be forbidden to me. So, again, this is Rashi. According to Rashi's interpretation, if you eat the Rishonah b'shogeg, Vashniya b'mezid, but when you eat the second one, you remember that you took this condition, right, the shvua, okay? You're patur. Why are you patur? Because when you ate the chocolate cake, you didn't know that you were doing it as a fulfillment of this condition. And you can't have a fulfillment of a condition, like the shvua was never chal, basically. Because the shvua is supposed to be chal when you, right, shvua in general, we've talked about, you can be chayav shogeg. But shogeg has to be on, when you chayav korban shogeg, it's on the achila of the shvua, of what was forbidden to you. Not the shogeg here of not remembering that you fulfilled the tnai doesn't count as shogeg. And basically what you end up with is there's no halut shvua. The shvua is never chal because you didn't fulfill the tnai b'mezid. Okay? So therefore it's not chal. So chal to rishonah v'shniyah b'shogeg patur. Rishonah b'mezid u'shniyah b'shogeg chayav. Car? Okay. If the first one is b'mezid, if you eat the tnai b'mezid, okay, now it's going to be obvious this case. You eat the chocolate cake on purpose, and you know at that point that if you eat that chocolate cake, the apple pie will be forbidden to you. So now you have a basic shvua. But when you eat the apple pie, the shnia, it's b'shogeg. You forget that you made this tnai. Well, that, right, then obviously you're chayav. Then you're going to be chayav because that's a classic case of shvua b'shogeg. Shtehem b'shogeg, okay, this is kind of obvious, but they're going to kind of give you all the permutations, so they're telling you this. If you ate them both b'shogeg, then for sure you're patur because, like what we said, of course you're patur because there's no chalut shvua even from the first one being shogeg. Shtehem b'mezid, if you eat them both b'mezid, achla litnae, v'hadar achle l'isure mechayef. If you eat first the chocolate cake, which was the tnai, okay, so you eat them both on purpose, but you eat the chocolate cake first, knowing full well that you're creating a shvua here. And then you eat the isur, then you eat the apple pie, b'mezid, you're mechayev. What are you, chayav? Not a shvua, you're chayav malko, because you did it b'mezid. But if you eat the isure first you eat the apple pie. At this point, you haven't yet eaten the chocolate cake. So your apple pie shvua, your eating of the apple pie is only going to be forbidden if, down the road, you eat the chocolate cake. Okay, maybe you give a time frame, right? Today.
But didn't it say after?
It didn't say after. It's just saying if I ate it. So now, it's going to depend on what? Plugta de Rabbi Yochanan Avi Rish Lakish, which we know already, which is and lav patur. If you remember, they have this halachah. When you eat that, when do you need to be warned for this kind of a case? Not before you eat the chocolate cake. You need to be warned before you eat the apple pie, the shvua. Shvua shelo ochal. So if you eat the apple pie first, if they warn you, do you know that if you eat this apple pie, in the event that you eat the chocolate cake later, what you're doing right now is going to be forbidden to you. Now, that's a hatra'at safek, because we don't know if you're going to eat the chocolate cake down the road. And later, you might claim, it's true, I knew at the moment I ate the chocolate cake, that if I eat the apple, I'm sorry, at the moment I eat the apple pie, I know that if I eat the chocolate cake later, what I did now will be forbidden to me. But who's to say later that you're going to remember when you go to eat that chocolate cake? You might forget then. The hatra'at is to make sure that you don't forget, right, that you're not shogeg. So the question is, this is what we call a classic case of hatra'at safek. Can we warn you before the maaseh, even though we're not so sure you're going to actually not fulfill it? Right? Just like shvur shel ochal, right? And then there's no way to, since you have all day to eat, right? We don't know at what moment you're going to be over on the isser, right? It could be at any point later.
Yes.
So therefore, we're going to say that it depends. If you hold hatra'at safek counts, then we can warn you before you eat the apple pie, and that will count as your warning. If you say hatra'at safek isn't hatra'ah, then it won't count, and then we don't punish you.
Yeah. Yesterday we said that a shvua had to be stated out loud, but not that somebody else had to hear it. If nobody else heard it, then nobody can warn you.
That's a good point. So that's because when we're talking here about warning, we're only talking about a mezid case, and we're only talking about a case where you'll be chayav malkut. Malkut, you can't be mechayav on a shvua that you took baal peh, that, in your heart that nobody knows about. But the truth is, in the end, they paskin that you can't do a shvua. I think the psak is that a shvua in your heart doesn't count.
Not just in your heart. We said yesterday that you have to say it out loud.
Oh, sorry. You're saying that you say it and no one has to hear you. Right. So if no one heard you, then they wouldn't be able to...
There's no hatra.
They wouldn't be able to warn you and you wouldn't be able to be punished in the court. But you'd be chayav a korban if you did it shogeg, and you might want to, take care of that to be mechaper al atzmecha. But no one could convict you of it. Right, because there was no hatra. Okay. Okay, here comes the complicated case. Tla'an zo bazo. Okay, you ready for this one? Lo ochal zo im ochal zo. Lo ochal zo im ochal zo. Okay, so you can't right? I won't eat, if I eat apple pie, then here, how does it work? I won't eat the apple pie if I ate the chocolate cake, and I won't eat the chocolate cake if I ate the apple pie. Okay. So now, im ochalzo, I'm sorry, lo ochalzo, im ochalzo. Ba'chalzo bezadon atzma u'bishigigat chaverta. Okay, I'm going to stick with Rashi. I'm telling you already that there's many interpretations here. The Rabbeinu Hanan has different girsa, both in the previous sugya and here. He has a whole different approach to this. Okay, he thinks that after you're, that there, he thinks, his whole premise, just to give you like a little background without getting too much into detail, he thinks that what we said in the very beginning, that if you're shogeg and you, if you're shogeg and you're t'nai, then there's no chalut shvua, he disagrees with that. Okay, he thinks that shogeg b'tnai could still be, you could still have the shvua. If you accidentally ate the chocolate cake, didn't remember you made it t'nai, that doesn't affect the ability for the shvua to be chal. So this is very interesting. What? You agree with him. Right, because you did it. What's the difference whether you were shogeg or not? Yeah. Right, so he says that Tosfot also, there's a huge, I mean, if we, you know, we could spend a week on this, learning this in depth and the different opinions and really, you know, what, which parts need shogeg, mazik, what, there's a lot to be discussed here. Okay, but right now we're going to stick with Rashi. So, if you eat, okay, so now, achalzo bezadon atzma, u'bishigigat chaverta. Okay, what does that mean? You remembered you took the shvua. Again, this is all according to Rashi. You remembered you took the shvua, but you forgot that it was based on the t'nai. So according to, again, against what, let's say, Esti is saying right now, and against Rabbeinu Hanan, if you thought that b'shogeg, right, you ate the condition, right, the condition was all shogeg. If the condition's all shogeg, there's no chalut shvua, and therefore, you're going to be patur. Okay, because each condition, you didn't remember the condition, you just remembered that you swore off chocolate cake and you swore off apple pie, but you didn't remember that you swore off them, right? You didn't remember that it was dependent on eating the other, and therefore when you ate the other one, you weren't doing it as a fulfillment of your condition. So therefore, you're patur. And the Rabbeinu Hanan would say the opposite. Zo b'shigigat atzma u'bezadon chaverta, if you eat them, though, as fulfillment of the t'nai, okay? Now there's the zadon chaverta, meaning the t'nai was done bizadon, and the shigiga was about the shvua. Okay? Zobe shigat atzma bizadon chaverta, v'zobe shigigat atzma bizadon chaverta. So as you ate each one, you remembered that you had said, if I eat this, the other one will be forbidden. But then you didn't remember that the other one, right? So how does this work exactly? If you say zozon, right, your dash and michal, the other one will be forbidden. Right. You know that when you eat it, that the other one's going to be forbidden to you. But each one, when you eat it, you don't remember that you said, this one's going to be forbidden to me if I eat the other one. So you remembered that if I eat the, while I eat the chocolate cake, I remember, oh, yeah, I said that if I eat chocolate cake, then apple pie will be forbidden to me. And you remember when you eat the apple pie that you said that if I eat the apple pie, the chocolate cake will be forbidden to me. But you forget that you swore off each of those things as you're eating them. Okay, so according to this, what's going to be the case? So b'shigat atzma b'zadom chaverta, chayav. Okay, then you're going to be chayav. Okay, but, 1 second. Right, so now they say like this. The first one you eat, let's say you eat the chocolate cake first. So you eat the chocolate cake first. So then when you eat the apple pie, what happens? You forget that you said you were going to, right, you swore off of it. So that's classic shogeg. That's like we saw in the first case we started out with this whole section, which is if the t'nai was mazi, then it creates a chalut shvua. And once there's a chalut shvua and you eat it b'shogeg, you're patur. But the apple pie, you ate as a fulfillment of your other t'nai. But when you ate the chocolate cake first, you hadn't yet fulfilled the t'nai. So that one, you're not going to be chayav on. Okay? That one, since you ate it b'shogeg, you didn't remember at all that you took a shvua, and you hadn't yet eaten the apple pie, so there you're patur. Okay? Shnehem b'shogeg patur. If everything was b'shogeg, then you're going to be patur, because there's no, again, according to Rashi, there's no chalut shvua. And shnehem b'mezid, Ashniya mechayev arishona pluta de Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish. This is the same thing as we saw before. That if both are mazid, right? You ate them both b'mezid, you knew everything. Then the second one, you're going to be chayav, but the beginning, the first one, right, that you ate, which was the condition to fulfill the other one, but you hadn't yet, when the chocolate cake, let's say, you right, you knew that it was forbidden to you if you eat apple pie, but when you eat the chocolate cake, you hadn't yet eaten the apple pie. And therefore, if you're mazid, the issue is malkot. And for malkot, you need a warning. And if you don't have a warning, if your hatra'at safek doesn't count, then you're not going to be chayav. If your hatra'at safek does count, if you hold that it does count, then you're going to be chayav. Okay? So that's the same as the previous case. It's not any different. The first two cases were the ones that were different. Amar of Mary. Af ana nami tanina. I can also prove this from a Mishnah. What's the girsa here? I don't know. I forget what part you're supposed to read, but let's just read the whole thing. Arba'a nidarim hitiru chachamim. There's four types of nidarim that the chachamim were matir. Yeah, basically this is intended to be read. Nidre zeruzin, nidre havai, nidre shkagot, and nidre onsin. And now we're going to basically bring what is nidre shkagot, and that's going to prove what we said before. But before we get there, we have to explain what these four nidarim are. Okay, there's four nidarim that chachamim said are not nidarim. Okay, what is this? Nidre Zeruzin. That's a case where, let's say you're trying to get someone to sell you something. To buy something off of you. So you say, this item will be forbidden to me if I'm going to sell you this for less than this price. As you're trying to say, I will not drop in my price. Okay, and you do it b'lashon neda. That's called a Nidre Zeruzin. You're just trying to get the guy, right? You're negotiating, you don't really mean what you say. You're just trying to get the guy to give you the money that you want. So that's a nidre zeruzin. That's not a neder. It doesn't count. Okay? We assume this is a little bit like a smachta, where we know that you don't really mean what you say. Okay? You're just doing it to encourage him. Next case, nidre havai. That's if you say, this will be forbidden to me. By the way, I forgot to say kikorban, right? You always have to use the lashon of a korban or something like that in your neder. This will be forbidden to me like a neder if I didn't see... one of the classic cases they give is like, you know, the amount of people that came out of Mitzrayim on the street today. Okay? Like, it's basically saying, you know, I clearly saw, right? You're just making a totally exaggerated, silly thing that you're saying. Nidre Shkagot we'll get to in a minute. And Nidre Onsin is, for example, let's say a thief comes to you. He's about to steal your tevuah. And you say, all the fruits of the world will be forbidden to me like a korban if these fruits are in truma. Try and say to the guy, don't take it because you're not going to be able to eat it anyway. Okay? Or if these fruits aren't something, right? They aren't forbidden fruits. So basically, or, you know, another example they gave us are not like the king's fruits, right? They belong to the king. Like the king already took my property over and they belong to the king, so it doesn't really pay for you to steal my stuff. So again, what are you doing there? You're just trying, that's ones. That's you were forced into a situation. They were about to rob you. So what did you do? You made this neder to kind of, you know, get him off your back. None of those things really count. Neither do Nidre Shkagot. What's Nidre Shkagot? Ketzad. Konam im achalti v'im shatiti. You say, this will be forbidden if I ate or if I drank. Okay? V'nizkar she'achal v'shata. And later, now, until now, what have we been talking about? If I will eat or if I won't eat. And then you forget later and you eat, you have to bring a korban olev yored. But if you say, right now we're in the world of Nidarim, but we're going to say in a minute that it's the same for Shavua. But if you say, this will be forbidden if I ate or if I drank, you're talking about the past, and you just forgot. You thought that you really ate or drank, whatever you said your Nidar was, right? You were sure that you ate. So you say, this will be forbidden to me if I didn't eat, because you were sure you ate, and it turns out you were wrong, right? You remembered all of a sudden. Sha'achal v'shata, or she'eni, okay, or you say, she'eni ochel v'she'eni shota, now they won't eat or I won't drink. Sha'achal v'achal v'shata mutar, okay? One second, this car, sha'achal v'shata, one second, this case of she'eni ochel v'she'eni shota, 1 minute. Right. So then, okay, so now let's say you do it on the future and you say that I won't eat or I won't drink and then you forget, okay? So this is also on the future. So I was wrong in saying there's a difference, but I think there's a difference, so we'll hold off on that. So when kiyum atnai, it was shogeg, so he's shogeg. And then, v'tane ala, kishem shenidresh kagot mutarim, Kach shvuot shkagot mutarot. Okay? So now they say, right, it's also, shvuot shkagot are also pturot. Okay? Mutarot. Which means, one second, right, so what are they trying to prove here? That if you nishbal t'nai, and in your kiyum t'nai, again, this is all according to Rashi, in your kiyum t'nai, you forget about it, then you can't make a shvua based on, right, your shvua won't be chal based on a shkaga. Okay, that's what we're going to basically say. Okay? Tov. So now, oh, and this all comes from where? It comes from the words, ha'adam b'shvua. Right, if you remember that pasuk, right, let's just repeat that pasuk that we keep repeating all the time, right? I should know the whole thing by heart, but I would. O nefesh ki tishava levateh b'svatayim la'ra u'leitiv, l'chol asher yivateh ha'adam b'shvua. There has to be a bitoy of ha'adam b'shvua. So it has to be that he intended the shvua. So in this case, when he ate, we're assuming that when is the chalut shvua? When the t'nai is fulfilled. So this is against what you're saying, which is basically that if when you wanted the shvua to be chal by eating this thing by accident, well, that's a shvua shkaga. That's a shvua you never intended to really do that. It's like saying, I swore that I didn't eat, and you really had eaten, you just forgot. You thought that you had eaten. So that's what they're saying. Okay, now we're moving on, although it's similar. Ifa tani shvuot be Rabba. If Ifa was learning Masechet Shvuot in the house of Rabba. Pagaba avime achva. Okay, avime, his brother, meets him. I assume that's his brother. Amarle, shvuot shelo achalti. So avime says to him, what's the case if you say, shvuot shelo achalti mahu. If you say, I swear I didn't eat. What's the case? So you say a double shvua here. Amar le, here we're going to see the difference between future and past. Now I remember. Amar le, eino chayav ela achat. Okay, you're only chayav once. Why? What's the assumption? Ein shvua chalas shvua, right? Now, generally, when we say ein shvua chalas shvua, it's when you're talking about the future. Okay, this is where there's a difference, future and past. If I say shvua shelo chal, I swear I won't eat, and then I say again, I swear I won't eat, okay, so have I taken two shvuot on my future? I swear I won't eat. Just like I could say, Areini Nazir, Areini Nazir, there'll be two Nazirut. But in the case of a shvuot, what do we say? Since it's already forbidden to me, I can't forbid another thing upon me. I've already created a shvuot for myself. I can't create another shvuot on something that's forbidden. But in this case, we're talking about, I'm saying, I swear on the past. I swear I didn't eat, I swear I didn't eat. Now, let's say I did eat. So I basically lied twice under oath. You follow? I've said two false shvuot. So first he wants to say, right? So Amarle eino chayav elachat. He wants to say it's not chayav elachat because it's ein yisrochal elisro kind of thing. Amarle ishtabashta. He says you're totally confused. Hare yatzah shvuah l'sheker. You basically were motzi a shvuah l'sheker. It's not the same as the future, and you're basically saying two false shvuot, and you're going to be chayav twice. Next question. Shvua shelo ochal tesha ve'eser. I swear I won't eat nine, let's just say, for example, nine olives. And then you say, and I swear I won't eat 10 olives. Mahu. So what does he say? Chayav al kol echat ve'echat. You're chayav on both. Okay? Why are you chayav on both? Because eser is more than tesha. Right? In other words, you swear you won't eat nine, and then you swear you won't eat 10. So now you're chayav on each one. Like, if you eat 10, you're chayav both because you ate 9 and because you ate 10. Amar le, ishtabashta. You're totally wrong. Eat tesha lo achil, eser lo achil. That's if you ate 9, right? That's if you can't eat 9, then you also can't eat 10, right? Because 10 is more than 9. So once you say 9 and you eat those first 9, then the second shvua is not chal either because it's like a shvua chal al shvua. Because 10 is already forbidden to you because 9 is forbidden to you. It's like there's that riddle. I don't know. There's a riddle about this where if you say you won't eat 9 and then you say you won't eat 10, well, by eating 10, you've already, to get to 10, you have to eat 9. So you're already forbidden to eat the 9, so therefore the 10 isn't chal at all. Now, however, if you say, by the way, another way of looking at it is that you can make 9 out of any 10. Like, when you're eating that 10th one, you could say, really, it's the 9th one and ignore the last one I just ate. Okay? Whereas, if you said, I swear I won't eat these 9, And then you say, I swear I won't eat these 10, which let's say includes the 9, but an additional one, then it would be different because you're basically adding an additional item. But if you're saying the number 10 globally, well, 10 is already 9. So basically, you'd be chayav once you ate 9 already. So, you know, whatever. The 9 is included in the 10. Okay? Next question. It's going to be the opposite now. Shvur shalo ochal. Shvur shalo ochal. I'm just finding the place here. Okay. Shvur shalo ochal eser vitesha. Okay, first you say, I swear I won't eat 10. And then you say, I swear I won't eat 9. Mahu. So first he says, eino chayav el achat. Because 10 is more than 9, right? So if you can't eat 10, obviously you can't, you know, 9 is included when you eat the 9, right? So if you, it's like this. If you eat 10, well then you've already, you're chayav because of 10, not because of 9. So then you're chayav, you're only chayav once. Amarle, he says, no, ishtabashta, you're wrong. Eser hu delo achil, ha tesha mia achil. If you say 10 is forbidden to me, you're actually not forbidden if you eat 9. So when you say the next shvua and you say, I swear I won't eat 9, you're actually forbidding more. That's called an isur mosif. You're adding more isur than there was before. So therefore, since you could potentially eat tesha, therefore even when you eat eser, both shvuot are going to be chal and you're going to be chayav twice. I'm Rabbi. Zimnin dimishkachat la lahadi ifa kidemar. Sometimes Rabba said like Ifa. Okay, Ifa was the one who said the first answer each time. Okay, so now he's going to say that sometimes he said like Ifa. De'amar Rabba, shvur shalo chal te'inim va'anavim, v'chazar va'amar shvur shalo chal te'inim, v'achal te'inim v'yifrish korban, v'achar kach achal anavim l'chudayu, havi le'anavim chatzi shir, v'chatzi shir lo mechayev korban. He says like this, there could be a case where we'd hold like Ifa, which is what? If you say shvur shalo chal te'inim and anavim, what you really mean is, I won't eat te'inim and anavim together. And then you say, and I swear I won't eat te'inim. Now let's say you first eat te'inim, and you separate a korban because you forgot, and you took your korban olev yored, and then you ate anavim. Now those te'inim and anavim at this point don't join together. So your second shvur is chal, because your te'inim you ate without the intent to eat the anavim. So therefore, the anavim or chatzi shir, when you eat the anavim, it's as if you're eating just anavim and not anavim and teinim. So hachanami, how would it apply to here? Kigon de amar shvur shel ochal eser, v'chazar v'amar shvur shel ochal tesha, and what happens? Achal tesha, you eat 9, so you don't get up to your 10 yet, which was your first shvua. Hifrish korban, you separate out a korban to bring a korban on that, v'achar kach achal asirit. So now, havi ala asirit chatzi shir, v'chatzi shir lo mechayev. Okay, and then you're going to be chayav the shvua on the 9. Because you ate 10, but you didn't eat them all together. And again, it has to be separated not just by, well, I ate them and then I ate the other one. It has to be separated by you, in fact, bringing a korban, which shows that you've designated, I'm finished with this isra and now I'm moving on. And then when you eat the next thing, it's not.
You didn't eat 10, 9 and 1.
Right, exactly.